Come out and hear Eric Metaxas, who wrote the book that inspired the movie Amazing Grace. Colorado Right to Life has reserved the steps of the Capitol in Denver to hold a rally and then a march to the 16th Street Mall when it's teeming with people at noon on Thursday, January 22nd. Eric Metaxas wrote the best-selling Amazing Grace, documenting the relentless effort of perhaps the greatest abolitionist of all time, William Wilberforce, who worked for 46 years to end slavery. Abortion was legalized in our state 41 years ago. Yet in 2008, we had 585,000 Coloradans vote for personhood to end all abortions. Don't be discouraged. Stand up for God and His command, do not murder. Come out at noon on January 22nd to the Capitol and hear Eric Metaxas encourage us with the lessons learned by Wilberforce in his life's work to recognize the slave's right to life and liberty. See ColoradoRightToLife.org for more information.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Kenyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You heard about the U.S. Airways plane crash into the Hudson River today, this afternoon. 150 people on board. Onlookers were thinking, what is that plane doing so close to the ground? And sure enough, it hit the river, went in the river. And so far, there are no reports of any serious injuries or deaths. And I thank God for that, but I don't call it a miracle. I'll tell you why in a moment. But this is a U.S. Airways flight on an Airbus 320, and apparently it went through a flock of birds and hit one or more birds that took out an engine. I mean, you want to talk about horrifying and that frigid water? This country is in a deep freeze, a la Al Gore, thanks to Al Gore. Global warming has brought frigid temperatures. In some places, it's the coldest it's been in 100 years. Some places it snowed more days consecutively than it has since record-keeping began in the 1800s. The Earth has been in a cooling phase now for about 10 years, and the liberals are just starting to figure out that it's gotten cooler, and so they're not going to talk about global warming in the future as much. It'll be climate change. But these poor people on this U.S. Airways flight hitting the Hudson River, the frigid Hudson River, and so far, people climbed out of the plane onto the wings as the plane is gradually sinking. And, you know, thankfully, they were in a very populated area. The New York metropolitan area is the most populated area in the country. And so there were rescue boats very quickly. And so we'll all see in the news how this turns out as far as injuries or deaths. But here's why I don't say this is a miracle. Okay, some people see a plane crash or a car crash, and maybe people get killed and somebody walks away and they say it was a miracle. And the person who walks away and they or their family members say it's a miracle, I think they're not thinking biblically, and they're thinking in a very self-centered way that somehow God micromanaged the outcome of that accident. Maybe it was a drunk driver who killed a few people, maybe a few kids, maybe young kids, toddlers. Maybe it's a three-car accident, and some guy survives. And some Christians, without really thinking, being somewhat thoughtless, thinking they're being spiritual or mature, they say, it was a miracle, God saved me. And so if you think through that, first of all the people who suffered and died, tortured deaths, kids, children who were killed, all that horror, you're also saying that God was micromanaging the outcome of this, and he decided that those kids would be killed and the drunk driver would be spared. And you might think further and think, okay, why did God save me to show me that he cares about me? So why did the plane crash in the first place? Didn't God have the ability to prevent the plane from crashing? Did God crash the plane in order to show you how much he cares about you? And when people survive, you know, quite often atheists survive accidents. Child molesters survive accidents. Abortionists survive accidents. And you might think, oh, they survived it so that they could, what, bring glory to God when they get saved? Well, a lot of them don't get saved. They don't become Christians. They continue to wreak misery and havoc and godlessness, and then they die and go to hell years later. So when a plane comes down out of the sky and it crashes, think about a plane that has a crash landing and one or two people walk away from it, or maybe there are no deaths, like the Frontier flight that went off the runway at DIA a few weeks ago. There were no deaths. And I'm thankful to God that there were no deaths. I'm not saying that I think God micromanaged it and crashed the plane to show people that he's able to protect people in a plane crash. That's called superstition. And for too long, superstition has gotten a pass as though it were spiritual maturity. It's superstition. So in the Bible, the miracles God did in the Bible, for the most part, were seen as miracles by God's enemies. So God's enemies see the supernatural things happen, and they realize, well, that's a miracle, but I still hate him. I still hate the God of Abraham. I still hate the God of Moses, but that's clearly a miracle. Nowadays, the miracles that are happening, it's mostly only the Christians who say they're miracles. The unbelievers say, it's not a miracle. There was a traffic crash, and the drunk driver didn't die, and his victims did die. It's not a miracle. And so if a plane came down, straight down to the ground, at 1,000 miles an hour, you know, the kind of crash where the plane is virtually obliterated, you know, when a meteorite hits the ground and it's just obliterated, you find a crater and that's it. Where's the meteorite? Well, might be way under the ground, but it's the energy from the impact, it's obliterated. So a plane comes down and it's obliterated, and all 400 passengers on board are all standing there in their clothes, and they're all perfectly healthy. Okay, that would be a miracle. That would be a biblical miracle. But you have a plane crash where the plane goes off the runway, or the plane comes down and it's a horrific landing, but and it breaks in two parts, and dozens of people are burned to death, and some people escape, like from the Hindenburg. That's not a miracle. It's a catastrophe. It's a tragedy, and some people have escaped it. And we should be mature enough to thank God for our lives, and for the ability, when there is horror and tragedy, to trust and praise God, thank him for this life he's given us. And if this life ends in persecution or disease or torment or prison or death, when this life ends, we thank God for the next life and for the ability to be a good testimony to Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstance that we find ourselves in. That's spiritual maturity. So I'm thankful to God for those who have escaped this Airbus crash, this U.S. Airways crash into the Hudson River this afternoon. And I'm thankful that God gave us a world filled with resources like aluminum that we could build strong planes. And he gave human beings brains where engineers could build planes and maximize their safety features so that if the plane comes down in water, it doesn't necessarily sink to the bottom in 2 seconds. There's some buoyancy and some thought going into how do you escape the plane if it comes down in water. So again, I don't have the details of this horrific accident, but just the initial report. And we'll find out more, and we'll experience the, you know, the emotions of finding out about that kind of accident together. And we take the teachings of Jesus Christ and we apply them to the events in our lives. So remember when that tower in Siloam fell and it killed those people? How many people did it kill? 18 people were killed when a tower in Siloam fell. And there was superstition back then also. And the superstitious religious people, they thought, whoa, what was the reason that happened? That must have happened for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. So if you get a zit, everything happens for a reason. Right? You get liver spots, everything happens for a reason. You get the hiccups, everything happens for a reason. You run out of toilet paper, everything happens for a reason. And so it must have happened. That tower fell on those people for some reason. What reason was it? Well, it must be because they were the worst sinners. They must have been the worst sinners in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, that tower that fell in Jerusalem, you think they were the worst sinners? I tell you, no. Stop thinking like that. But turn your own life over to God. You're fantasizing and fabricating motives. You're assigning them to God. God doesn't want people to put words in his mouth. If you are interpreting events as though God did them, and somebody says, why was this child abducted and molested, raped, tortured, and buried alive? Remember that sick John Cooey, evil murderer in Florida? Why did God do that to this little girl? What was his reason? And you read some of the theologians in Christian history, and it could turn your stomach, because some of the greatest theologians say it's for God's glory and God's pleasure that people are raped and tormented. Child pornography is produced by God's decree for his glory and his pleasure. Who decided which children would be raped in that video? Well, God did, before the foundation of the earth. Who decided how many minutes they would be tormented and be violated to make that video, to sell it for $400 to perverts, to NAMBLA members, and so on? Oh, God did. God decreed it for his glory and his pleasure. You see, what we've done is we've sacrificed the righteousness of God. Our Christian theologians, many, 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 many of them, have sacrificed the righteousness of God for their humanist philosophy. You know, the omnis and ims? I won't even take the time to name them right now, but I have a debate. You could read it for free on the internet with D. James Kennedy's professor of New Testament. You've heard of D. James Kennedy, a great man of God who's now with the Lord. And he got up there and he made his apologies for some of his false teaching. And I had the honor of debating one of his professors at their Knox Theological Seminary down in Fort Lauderdale, Dr. Samuel Lamerson. And if you like to read Christian theology and you like a rousing debate, oh, believe me, you'll have fun if you read Battle Royale 10. I mean, it's a blast. And we talk about stuff like this and this plane crash. And you remember Susan Smith, whose mother-in-law wrote a letter. Susan Smith drowned her two kids in their car seats in the back of her car because she was an adulteress who wanted to marry a man who didn't want kids. So really, what that man was saying was, hey, I'm a fornicator, and I'll have sex with you, Susan Smith, but I don't want to marry you. Are you kidding me? Why buy the cow when the milk is free? I don't want to marry you. So he made up an excuse. His excuse was, I'm not ready to be a father, and you have two kids. That wasn't the real reason. He didn't want her. And so she thought, well, I have two kids, but I could solve that. I could kill them and say a black man kidnapped them. So that's what she did. And she drowned her two kids in the back seat. She had them strapped in their car seats, and she rolled her car into a lake, killed her two kids. And I recall the outrage that we expressed on Bob and Yurt Live back when that happened. And I argued that her punishment should not be that you watch cable TV and play ping pong for the next 30 years. That's not an appropriate punishment. Her punishment, swift punishment after conviction, she should have been executed by strapping her in the back seat of a car on television, in the same car, in the back seat, with cameras inside the car and outside the car, and roll the car down the same slope into the same lake. That should have been her punishment. But it wasn't, you know? Instead of that, we had no end of daytime talk shows having women on TV, on their program, who had killed their kids. Women who killed their kids. And the first thing said on a nationally syndicated show is, we can't judge. And the whole audience would applaud. We can't judge. And the mother who drowned her kids, stabbed her kids, killed her kids, abandoned her kids outside, whatever, the mother's the hero of the show. She's the hero. And so we have a rash, an epidemic of mothers killing their kids because there's not much of a consequence. But if the country would have seen Susan Smith strapped in the back seat of that car, that rusty, dirty, smelly old car, and that car going down that slope and her drowned, I bet you there wouldn't have been one kid killed in 5 years by her mother. Not one kid in 5 years. We would have saved hundreds of kids and hundreds of mothers from becoming murderers. And that's why the wisdom of God and the wrath of God is kinder than the compassion of man, because man's misguided compassion destroys people by the millions, by the millions. But to understand God the way he is, instead of the cliche way that Christianity presents him, the girly man kind of Christianity, you got to take the Bible seriously. You got to take the Bible seriously. And so what an honor it was to interview Eric Metaxas, who wrote the biography about William Wilberforce, the world's greatest abolitionist. And Colorado Right to Life is flying him out to speak at the Capitol a week from today on the west steps of the Capitol in Denver for the 2009 March for Life. And when I interviewed, if you didn't hear Eric Metaxas, please, you owe it to yourself to go online to KGOV, our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. K, a call letter for a radio station or TV station west of the Mississippi. East, they're W's. WABC in New York City. In LA, it's KABC. And GOV as in government, because all authority comes from God. All authority comes from God. It doesn't go uphill like in humanism with democracy, where the people are the authority and they grant authority to rulers. That's authority going uphill. That's humanism. Authority flows downhill from God through the government to the people, from parents to their children. And even the kid can kick the cat off the couch. So authority flows downhill. Well, Eric Metaxas is coming out to speak a week from today at the Capitol. And when I listen to him and he talks about these extraordinary Christians who lived their lives, who gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ and to love their neighbor, it's humbling and it's encouraging. And so Susan Smith, her grandmother wrote a letter to Brian and Lisa Rorba when their son Danny was murdered at Columbine High School. And she wrote in that letter, she said, "Be careful, my two beautiful grandchildren were murdered by Susan Smith." And she said, "Be careful of Christians who will tell you that God did this." that this was God's plan. She said, don't believe them. It's not God's plan. It's wicked. And she was exactly right. And so Brian Rohrbaugh wrote a letter to the professor of the New Testament that I debated on these subjects. And his letter is in the debate. Battle Royale 10. Is the future settled or open? Bob Inyart versus Professor Samuel Lamerson, who worked for D. James Kennedy. Brian Rohrbaugh wrote a letter to Samuel Lamerson. He wrote a letter to him, and he included the letter from Susan Smith's mother-in-law in his letter. And Samuel Lamerson was, I believe, presenting superstition as Christian theology. And he was saying, well, if I'm incorrect, it could be I might marry a woman who might kill my kids. I might put my child in a school where my child might get killed. So, of course, I have to believe that God decrees all these things. And Brian Rohrbaugh wrote to Professor Lamerson and said, Professor Lamerson, you're afraid that that might happen? That has happened. That has happened. And if you're right, God has decreed that this child would be raped and murdered, that these children would be drowned by the hands of their parents, that husbands would have affairs and give their wives sexually transmitted diseases, and on and on and on, destroying the holiness and righteousness of God, sacrificing them for some humanist philosophical concepts, namely the omnis and the ims. And that's what that debate is about. And if you're interested in thinking through issues like this crash, you know, why did this happen? Why did it happen? A bird flew in front of the plane and went into the engine, and the engine blew out. That's why it happened. Remember, Augustine, considered the greatest Christian theologian 1,600 years ago, and Augustine was fully committed to the pagan Greek philosophers, Plato and Aristotle. And so perhaps in the tradition of Augustine, we could say that Plato was the greatest Christian theologian. He's not Christian, but a lot of Christian theologians are not Christian. The guys who put together the New Testament for the NIV and the New American Standard, we use the New King James at Denver Bible Church. But Westcott and Hort, they weren't Christians. They weren't Christians. They said it doesn't matter who you worship. As long as you worship something. It said it doesn't matter what you worship, it all has the same effect. They were pagans. So we've got Christian theologians who are not Christian. So if we're going to interpret events based on Greek and Latin philosophical concepts, the omnis and the ims, maybe we'll look at Plato as the greatest Christian theologian, the way the pagan Greek philosophers have been idolized through century after century of Christian theology. It's startling. And you learn about that in this debate. Is the future settled or open between Bob Inyart and Professor Samuel Lamerson, New Testament professor working for D. James Kennedy? And what a fun debate. And we could sell it to you. What do we sell it for? $24.95 with a 90-day money-back guarantee? Get it while supplies last. Or you can get it later, because if we run out, we could just print more. And money-back guarantee, but we're always satisfied with your money. Usually, always. I'm only kidding. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. What publisher gives you a money-back guarantee? Buy this book from Ann Coulter, and if you don't like it, you get your money back. You ever hear of that? Never heard of that. And we've done that for 15 years on Bob Inyart Live, money-back guarantee. And if it's not a serious look at the Word of God and the attributes of God, you could get your money back. Or You could read it for free on the internet. Read it for free. Bob Benyart, Samuel Lamerson, Battle Royale 10. Just Google Battle Royale 10 or Enyart, Battle Royale 10. Enyart Battle. And look for the question of, is the future settled or open? Or email us and we'll send you a link to it at bob@kgov.com. bob@kgov.com. Okay. So this crash helps a Christian think through reality. You know, a former speechwriter for the governor went to the Colorado Capitol yesterday, and he helped Colorado Right to Life by hand-delivering invitations to all the legislators, Republicans and Democrats, for them to come on outside a week from today for the March for Life. And I also have it from insider information that a separate invitation is being mailed to the same legislators and that it will probably especially annoy the Democrats since it's a color photo of the world's largest protest sign. That's going to be good. I wish I could be there in the Capitol when they open their mail and get that. But the invitation is to come out on the west steps of the Capitol a week from today, Thursday, January 22nd at noon, to hear Eric Metaxas, biographer of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, martyred for his Christian faith and activism in Germany after being caught in a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler in 1943, killed in 1945, spent 2 years in jail, was offered the chance to escape and refused because he was concerned that, of course, his family would be arrested, killed, to punish him for escaping. And he was eventually killed. And William Wilberforce, who spent from his conversion to Christianity the next 46 years to abolish slavery in Great Britain, and he died, was it 2 weeks after learning that he had finally succeeded, that slavery was being abolished. 46 years of relentless effort pretty much annoyed every person he ever met because of his focus and determination to bring liberty, to bring justice to black people kidnapped in Africa into slavery. And we have the opportunity to fight for the Lord through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to save the innocent children from being killed by Planned Parenthood and other abortionists, like some of those who work at Children's Hospital in Denver. So come on out. I'd love to see you this coming Thursday, a week from today, January 22nd at noon. You could go to ColoradoRightToLife.org for more information. You know, Planned Parenthood, every year they have their event at the Capitol. This year, they canceled it. No event. You know why? The pro-lifers stole the steps of the Capitol from Planned Parenthood. Last summer, they got the permit before the pro-boards. So that was cool. Come on out, and Maranatha, what a great school.